The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. 10th Canto, Chapter Number 60, Text Number 41, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on June 6th, 2013, in Phoenix, Mauritius.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yat Vanshaya Nripa Shika Manaya Anga Vainya Jayanta Nahashu Gaya Adaya Aikya Patyam Rajam Visrija Vivishu Vanam Ambuja Aksha Siddhanti Te Anupadavim Te Iha Astita Kim Yadvanchaya Nripeshaka Manayonga Vainya Jayanta Naha Shugayadaya Aikya Padyam Rajam Vrishidja Vivishurva Namambu Jaksha Siddhanti Te Nupada Vinta Ihasti Takim Yad Vanchaya Nupishaka Manayonga Vainya Jayanta Naha Shugayadaya Aikya Padyam Rajang Visrija Vivishurvana Mambu Jaksha Siddhanti Te Nupada Vinta Ihasti Takim Yat For whom? Vanshaya Out of desire Nripa Of kings Shika Manaya The crown jewels. Angavainya. Jayanta Nahashu. Jayanta Nahusha. Gaya Adaya. Anga, the father of Vena. Vainya, Prithu, the son of Vena. Jayanta. Bharat. Nahusha Yayati Gaya and others Aikya Exclusive Patyam Having sovereignty Rajam Their kingdoms Visrija Abandoning Divishu Entered Vanam The forest. Ambuja Aksha. O lotus-eyed one. Siddhanti. Suffer frustration. Te. Your. Anupadavim. On the path. Te. They. Iha. in this world, astita, fixed, kim, weather. Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Wanting your association, the best of kings, Anga, Vainya, Jayanta, Nahusha, Gaya, and others, abandoned their absolute sovereignty and entered the forest to seek you out. How could those kings suffer frustration in this world, O lotus-eyed one? Purport. Here, Queen Rukmini refutes the ideas put forward by Lord Krishna in text 13. In fact, Srimati Rukmini Devi repeats Lord Krishna's own words. The Lord said, Astita padavim sabru prayasidanti yoshita. Women who follow my path generally suffer. Here, Rukmini Devi says, Sidandite nubatavim na ihastita kim. Why should those fixed on your path suffer in this world? She gives the example of many great kings who renounced their powerful sovereignty to enter the forest, where they performed austerities and worshipped the Lord intensely, desiring his transcendental association. Thus, according to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, Srimati Rukmini Devi here intends to tell Krishna, you have said that I, a king's daughter, am unintelligent and frustrated because I married you, but how can you accuse all these great enlightened kings of being unintelligent? They were the wisest of men, yet they gave up everything to follow you and were certainly not frustrated by the result. Indeed, they achieved the perfection of your association. So it may appear that by surrendering to Krishna, that one suffers. But the fact is that by surrendering to Krishna, you become free from all suffering. How is that? The reality is this. At the present moment, we are deeply entrenched, deeply entangled, completely tied up in the false conception of I am this body. The body is the platform of suffering. The body goes through birth, death, old age, and disease. Janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi. The body will do those things. You cannot change that. I don't care how much you may advance your medical science. You're going to suffer birth, death, old age, and disease. That's our position in this material existence. But that's not us, you see. That's just the external covering of the self. That's not the actual self. As long as we continue to misidentify ourselves with that superficial self, the pseudo-self, the external self, the covering of the self, the body, we must suffer. There's no escape. You cannot escape. I don't care how much money you have, how much power you have, how much prestige you have, as long as you continue to identify yourself with that external shell, that body, you must suffer. You can't avoid it. It's unavoidable. You'll always be suffering one type of misery, another type of misery. But one who awakens their divine consciousness, who realizes their transcendental identity beyond this body, Prabhupada says they no longer feel the pains and pleasures. Of course, the sensations are there, but they no longer feel that it's them, they are going through it. It's like you can watch something on a movie screen, but it's not you. Well, it's only a movie, you see. There's some horrible, you know, some movie, some terrorist attack in some movie, you know, and all the people are captured by the terrorists, and they're being decapitated by the terrorists, and it's a very frightening movie. And you go, well, it's just a movie. And I'll turn off the switch, it's just a movie, it's not really me. Well, the material existence is just a movie. It has reality, but it's not us. Those things are happening. The material nature is going on. That's a fact. But it's not us. We're not part of it. We're actually citizens of the spiritual sky. We're eternal spirit souls, servants of Krishna. This place here is a foreign atmosphere for us, actually. It's not our place. So when you actually awaken your divine consciousness and you realize you actually have another identity, that this is not your actual identity, to be a man or a woman here in Mauritius. When you realize you have an identity in the pastimes of Krishna, then you are no longer disturbed by the miseries of this material life, you see. If you get old and you get diseased, well, so what? Not believe me. I may go deaf, I may go blind, I may have cancer, I may have this or that problem. It's not a big deal. It's just something going through temporarily as I'm leaving this place, you see. I'm out of here. I'm Goloka bound. It's like you have your bus here, Goloka Express, you see. We're on the Goloka Express. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. The mantra, that is also Goloka Express, you see, this Hare Krishna mantra. So as soon as you're on the bus, the Goloka Express, back to going back to Godhead, you see. The material miseries are not a big deal. Just waving goodbye to them. Goodbye, old age. Goodbye, death. Goodbye, sickness. Goodbye, birth. Goodbye, adiatmic. Goodbye, adibhotic. Goodbye, adidaivik miseries. Bye-bye, seven whips. Have fun. I'm Goloka bound, you see. Good luck. You see. The devotee can not disturb, you see. He can peacefully leave this place. He's not attached to his body. He understands it's not a very important thing. It's important when I can use it for Krishna, but ultimately it's not a very valuable thing. It's just earth, water, fire, air, ether. And so I can leave it. I don't have to be attached to this body, you see. I can say it's not really me. Just like I remember I was doing it at a retreat in Australia. I had a very nice kurta, and I went through the doorway there. It caught on the door and it completely ripped it. It was totally trashed, that kurta, you see. It was a nice silk kurta, but it was... It caught on the door as I walked through, and rip, it was finished, you see. So was I disturbed? No, I have another one in the suitcase, just throw it away, put on another one, what's the big deal, you see. So this body is just like that. Not a big deal if it becomes trashed and you have to throw it away, not a big deal. Because it's not me, I can just take another one. Either I'll get another material body, a better material body to serve Krishna, or I'll get a spiritual body, you see. Either way, I'm the gainer, you see. Either way, I'll be the gainer. So the devotee may appear to be suffering in different ways, but actually he's not suffering. It's like our Kalavecha Shudhar in Chaitanya Lila. He was very poor. He made his living by taking the leaves and making cups and bowls out of the leaves, the banana leaves. So how much profit can you make doing that? The banana leaves are growing everywhere. So he was very poor, but whatever income he had, he would spend half of it worshipping the Ganges River. He used to cry in ecstasy of love of God in the nighttime, and his neighbors thought he was crying out because he was hungry. They didn't understand his transcendental ecstasy. So a devotee may be in apparently a suffering condition, an impoverished condition or diseased condition, but because he is absorbed in Krishna consciousness, He's not disturbed by the dualities of the material nature. Sometimes he's a rich man, sometimes he's a poor man, sometimes he's a brilliant PhD, sometimes he's a spaced out ditch digger. It doesn't matter to a devotee. All he has to do is be Krishna conscious, stay engaged in Krishna's service, and he's completely happy in any condition. So are there any questions? You can bring them now. Okay, the first question. What happens, what becomes the soul after death? The soul doesn't become any, the soul is already the soul, doesn't matter. What becomes the soul after death? The soul doesn't change by death. Apart from chanting the Maha Mantra, engaging in Krishna spiritual activities, what else must we do to attain Goloka Vrindavan? Actually, you have to fully surrender to Krishna. And Prabhupada actually states in his Nectar Devotion that one has to become initiated. You have to actually make that solid commitment, that solid connection through initiation. That's a requirement. So you have to become, to go back to Godhead, you have to become purely absorbed in Krishna consciousness, free of all material desires. Your only desire is to please Krishna. If we have any material desires, Krishna will give us another material body to fulfill those. Some devotees take a lot of time to fully surrender to Krishna and Guru. Can you kindly elaborate on how one can easily and quickly fully surrender to Krishna and Guru? Well, how long do you have to live, Prabhu? What's your lifespan? Can you tell me how long you're going to be living? Anybody have an estimate? Anyone want to pin down exactly how long they're going to live? I'm 30. I think I got another 50 years to go. No. We can die at any minute. Therefore, realizing that we can die at any minute, therefore one should take the urgency and understand I must fully surrender to Krishna immediately. There's no time to waste. If one understands the urgency that I can die at any minute, he will immediately give up his nonsense and surrender to Krishna. Some people listen to many Bhagavatam classes, attend the Sunday feast, etc., but are still attached to material desires. What is your advice for these people? Don't you just hear what the class, but you should follow what is stated in the classes. Despite Krishna has given so many guarantees in Bhagavad Gita that those who are engaged in pure devotional service, they will attain his personal abode and not take birth again, our temples still lack manpower for regular service. I'm grateful if you can kindly elaborate and give some solution. We have to just serve Krishna very, very sincerely, and then he will send more and more devotees to help everything. We have to make our service very, very pure and very, very sincere, and then Krishna will automatically send more people to help. Some devotees want to donate their possessions to ISKCON, but at the same time they are apprehensive that ISKCON managers may misuse their donated property. Use their donation properly, therefore they want to maintain some control over what they donate. Please comment. Is it bhakti yoga, karma yoga, or just karma? Well, one has a right to see that his contributions are used properly. There's nothing wrong with that desire. There's nothing wrong. You want to see that your donation is used properly. What do your disciples mean to you? Disciples mean to me somebody that Prabhupada sent me to help them go back to Godhead. It's my service to my spiritual master to see that my disciples go back to Godhead. Aspiring disciples, it's the same thing. They're just getting ready to do the same thing. They are sent by Srila Prabhupada. It's my service to help them go back to Godhead. How can we always think of Sri Krishna? The easiest way is to chant Hare Krishna as much as possible, 24 hours a day. When you wake up, chant Hare Krishna. When you take your shower, chant Hare Krishna. When you put on your dhoti, your sari, keep the mantra going. Keep that mantra going. Just like when your car is running down the road, the engine is constantly running. Because the engine is running, the car is moving. If you want to advance spiritually, keep that engine going constantly as much as possible. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. You say that devotees engaged in bhakti are already liberated, even in this body, but although often we see that they are suffering, then how can they be liberated? Tate Bhagavatam 10:14:8. Tate nukampam sushamikshamano punjana evatma kritang vapakam. Ridvagvapurvirvidadang namaste jiveta yomukti padesa dayabhak. My dear Lord, a person who is constantly awaiting your causeless mercy to be bestowed upon him, who goes on suffering the resultant reactions for his previous sinful activities, while constantly offering you respectful obeisances from the core of his heart, is certainly an eligible candidate for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. Suffering, actually, taken in the right way, makes you liberated. If you take your suffering in the right way, you become liberated by that proper attitude of gratitude, that Krishna, thank you for giving me this suffering, because you're relieving me from my previous sinful activities. Therefore, I offer my obeisances unto you in full gratitude for this suffering that you are giving me. That person is actually liberated, so, even while they are suffering, because they don't have any grudge against the Lord. They appreciate the Lord for giving them that suffering. That's a very advanced state of consciousness. It's not easy when you're suffering to think that way. But if you will meditate, it's on this prayer. It's stated also in the Nectar Devotion. If you will remember this prayer, that it will help you to become liberated even while you're suffering. Is it okay if a devotee desires to be liberated? Of course, sure. Of course. If a disciple leaves his body before his guru, is it possible for him to enter the spiritual world? Of course. Jayananda did it. He went back before Prabhupada did. It's confirmed by Prabhupada. He went back to Godhead. Some devotees feel they need a powerful guru to come to deliver them. How can they increase their faith in Srila Prabhupada? By reading his books. The more you read Prabhupada's books, the more your faith increases. So the powerful guru has already come. Srila Prabhupada has come. Do you think Prabhupada is not here now? The powerful guru, Srila Prabhupada, the most powerful guru in the history of the Kali Yuga, has come. He has set his foot on Mauritius also. He is here right now. Prabhupada is fully here right now, just as much as he was when he was physically manifest here in Mauritius. He's just as present now as he was then. So the power of a guru has come, and he has empowered his disciples also to become powerful gurus to deliver you. Are you ready to surrender? That's all. Yeah.
I was just thinking, what is the meaning of the liberation? Is it, and we see that a person is suffering. If they are liberated, how they are suffering, it's our own contaminated vision. We see that they are suffering.
Someone may appear to be suffering, like Lord Jesus appeared to be suffering on the cross, but he was liberated. And the Prabhupada appeared to be in a very suffering condition in his final days of Vrindavan, a horrible suffering condition. Factually, he was. His body was in an extremely painful condition, but Prabhupada was completely transcendental to that, situated in Krishna, in pure Krishna bhakti.
So in our contaminated vision, we can see that why they are suffering. But actually, the suffering is taken by the Lord, like Haridas Thakur. Mm. Was beaten in 21 marketplaces. Yeah. For ordinary person, he is suffering. He is such a religious, dharmic person, and he is suffering. Why?
It appears that Haridas Thakur was in a suffering condition, but actually Lord Chaitanya took all those beatings on his own body. Haridas Thakur wasn't injured by those beatings in that 22 marketplaces.
So would you say that there's liberation means how much we are detached from material attachments?
Yeah. Liberation means that Iha Yashahir Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 12187. Iha Yashahir Dase Karmana Manasagira Nikolas Vapyavastosu Jivan Mukta Sa Uchate. One who fully engages his body, mind, and words in the service of the Lord is a liberated soul, even within this material existence. So if you want to be liberated, all you have to do is take your body, your mind, and your words and fully absorb them in Krishna's service, and you're a liberated soul immediately. You don't have to wait for death to be liberated. You can be liberated right here, right now, today, in Mauritius, just by engaging your thoughts, your words, and your deeds fully in the service of the Lord. When we surrender to Krishna, does he take our good and bad karma? Or does he take only our bad karma? No, the good karma is also bad. It's good to have your good karma taken away too. In other words, let's say I did some really good karma, I opened a charity hospital, and thousands and thousands of people got free medical care. That's really good karma, isn't it? What's the reaction, the wonderful reaction for giving all that free medical care to all those poor people who couldn't afford medical care? You get to come back and get free medical care yourself. For every person that you gave medical care to, you get to come back and that person will give you free medical care in the future. Wow, that's not great. How about not getting sick and not needing medical care? That's even better, you see. So even good karma is bad karma, ultimately. Karma is bad. Even good karma is bad because it obliges you to take birth again in a suffering condition so you can get your reward. Well, I got free medical care in my last time. I get to take birth after birth after birth so all those poor people can give me free medical care and they can get their karmic debt taken care of, you see. No. Krishna very kindly takes away our good and bad karma, because ultimately all karma is bad, because it forces you to take birth again in this material world. Even if your karma is to go to Brahma Loka and become Brahmaji, you see, that is also ultimately bad. You have such good karma, you're qualified to become Lord Brahma in your next birth. Better to have that karma taken away and go to Goloka Vrindavan. You understand? Okay, anything else? All right. We'll stop here, and we thank you all very, very much for your attending the Bhagavatam class this morning. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.